the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Dougie Almeida, and I am joined in the studios by my co-host today, Mr. Elgin David.
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
And a guest in the studio, a local comedian here, and Booker. He has his own rooms and stuff, and Mr. Fazil Malik.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Awesome.
Welcome. yeah. So, you've been on the show before.
Right, yeah, a few times. It's fun.
Yeah. I don't know if it's fun.
It's always fun. I have a good time.
Yeah. Right? That's why I do it.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, welcome, guys, in the show. Hey, we do the Facebook Live thing. It's new, and we do this for the simple reason that some people just don't listen to podcasts. You know, they don't, it's too much work. Other people, that's all they do. So we're kind of giving a little flavor for everything. You know what I'm saying? You're a marketing guy. You understand reaching out to people.
Yeah, it opens it up. Some people would rather watch and others would listen, so you give both avenues.
We're talking about sex? Or are we talking about... All right, so...
yeah, that was it.
I like to watch. yeah. Have you been getting laid lately, Fazil?
Oh, you're curious, huh? I don't like to brag. I'm a low-key kind of guy.
Well, you would just to say you got laid would be like, you know, if a guy who couldn't walk all of a sudden started walking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that would... If all of a sudden some guy said, holy shit, I can see, that would be like Fazil saying, I was in a threesome this weekend. Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't know what he does in his private life. Fazil might be into that shit. You never know. He might be into that. Threesomes, foursomes.
I bet every guy's into it. That's not
the I bet you Fazil's a ladies' man secretly.
Yeah.
My whole act is about me not getting laid. So.
Meanwhile, yeah, but in that farce.
Yeah, he goes into the phone booth. He comes out, and he's super Fazil. Yeah. And he's like...
Exactly. Ladies Elgin man. Knows.
I know it, dude.
Elgin and I used to go to kickball parties together.
Yeah, absolutely. This guy, yeah, man. He was
did you ever see him? Did you ever see him play kickball?
Yeah, I saw him play kickball before.
That's got to be on video.
Yeah, for sure.
Is Fazil playing kickball?
yeah, absolutely. He's pretty good.
I pitch.
Yeah, I thought you'd be a catcher.
no,
all right.
He's
so,
pretty good.
No, but
it's ruined your fantasy.
Can he kick?
He can kick the ball. He can run. He can pitch. I mean, if you're the pitcher of the team in kickball, you got to know.
Well,
what
is
you're
it
doing.
Slow pitch? Is just rolling the ball? Or is it overhand like the real like sport?
You can curve it.
Yeah, you can curve it.
It just got to touch that big plate. It just has to
cross
strike,
over the...
It has to hit that plate.
Yeah, it has to be to the left or the right of the plate or on the plate.
On the plate.
Yeah.
Elgin was like the party animal there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he
of course.
He would archery everyone under the table.
Yep.
Wow, where'd you got like...
And
like,
I'd show up in costumes. I came one day in a fucking Lion King, in the Lion King costume.
Yeah.
I was Simba. I was dancing around.
That's funny.
I came in a Spider-Man costume before.
We played kickball. I took the wife out. We played a little co-ed kick. I think it was the yellow ball kickball.
Nice.
Red ball. They have red ball. They have Waka. They have a bunch of different places.
Waka's
yeah.
pretty competitive. That's overhand, right? I think
I don't know.
Some have overhand. You're right.
Yeah.
Ultra's overhand.
Some guy asked me to do that. He's like, I have overhand.
Overhand kickball?
Like, yeah, as long as the ball...
That is tough.
As long as you can fast pitch, as long as the pitch touches the plate, it, you know what I mean? So you can, like, whip it.
Yeah.
And then now you're turning into a woman's softball game. Everybody's just trying to bunt it. You know, nobody's going to swing away on a fucking ball that's, like, kicking a balloon. You know, I played soccer, you know, so I thought, oh, this is going to be easy.
Yeah.
You know, I go out there and I got this this kickball that's like a wobbly ass egg. You know, I'm like, who the fuck got this ball, man? Has it been sitting somebody's ass? You know, somebody thought this was a beanbag chair for the last 6 months.
It's hard to kick it. It's not as easy as you think it would be.
It gives and shit, you know?
And when it goes ping and smacks the shit out of your leg, it can hurt.
People get injured from kickball, too.
Oh, yeah.
Season-ending.
Especially people that think they can run.
Like, some serious injuries.
The first time I sprinted the first base, I pulled a hamstring almost because I blew it out because I wasn't used. Right. I've jogged. You know, I didn't like run like a sprint first base. I blew my hamstring, my quad up here.
You should see some of those people that take it so competitively. They're obsessed with it. Remember Elgin?
Yeah, I remember. He used to do that shit all the time, man. He's just so crazy about it.
Yeah,
Fassel's super obsessed with it. Yeah, he's one of those losing. Guys.
No, but it was just absurd. Like, some people would just take it to the next level. It's like the end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember we were in the championship game a couple times.
Nice.
And I remember I hated this one guy.
Uh-huh.
And he rounded around third base, and he kind of, like, taunted me back. And I played goalkeeper professionally, competitively. You know, soccer. So when you distribute the ball as a goalkeeper, I had this like highlight throw. I would like come and I'd that whiz the ball and fucking
yeah. So you like, pegged, like a, so I could throw it 60 yards,
70 yards. So I'm from a distance. I would net. So he's standing there and he's like toying with me, and I just kind of took that backwards step and fucking
hurled it at him.
You know, the balls, you hear it go by you. You know. And then, unfortunately, I forgot of the ineptness of my third baseman at the time.
Yeah.
He was just kind of standing there, like, looking at some chick in the fucking crowd. And I nailed him in the face.
Oh, my God.
My own teammate.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready.
No, he wasn't paying attention. Just fucking kickball, dude.
So you played in a league. This wasn't just one game.
No, this is a league.
Wow. Nice.
So you guys, like, got a team together? Why don't we do that, man? Why don't we have a comedy? Listen, let's have a comedy kickball game.
Yeah, why not?
It'd you know what fun. I'm saying?
That'd be awesome.
Can we do this? I'd love to go out there and play some fucking kickball.
Who wants to play kickball?
Comics that are watching, even if you're a traveling comic and you want to come into town, we're going to have a kickball game, and we'll call it the Hacks Against the Pros. No, let's call it, I don't know, how can we do that?
We need at least 20 people.
Right? How many people?
For a real good game.
Like, yeah.
20 comics.
How many people are on the field? Is it like nine, like in baseball?
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. We can just have it guys versus girls.
So you have at least a sub. Each team has at least a sub. Because you know someone's going to, you know, like round second base and realize they don't have any, you know, any fucking balance. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you can always rotate the position. It doesn't matter. We don't have to play like real. But you can rotate positions because you do that in kickball.
Right.
You can have different innings, send out different people to different places.
Yeah.
And everybody will get to play. Everyone.
Yeah, but
kick.
You know what? If you want to have fun, don't put somebody who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing on third base. You know, let the inept people like play outfield, of course.
Yeah, of course.
You know, catcher.
Second base.
Second base?
That's not important.
Right. You don't want to put somebody on first base that you throw them the ball like, they get scared. You know,
second catcher.
You
you have that second catcher. There's a catcher, and then there's a person behind the catcher for the wild ones.
Catches fly balls.
Ivan Dima Dezanov from Miami, a comic, asks Fozzle. He goes, comrades, why Fozzle not wearing an ultra burgundy short hiding from immigration? Yes, let's play kickball.
What?
Ivan, you've been in this country long enough to learn English, buddy. So
he's Russian.
He's a good dude. Let's play kickball, dude. You know what? How are we going
to
do this?
You know what we can do for kickball? Pick two captains.
Right.
I don't mind being picked last. I'm used to it.
You want to be a captain?
Or whatever. Yeah.
Why don't we get you a captain and have John Gregory be a captain?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Right? Wouldn't that be fun?
Why not?
You guys have had a feud. So this is like UFC. When they get the coaches for the UFC challenge, like, you know, Ultimate Fighter Championships.
That'd be funny.
Right. So you pick your fucking team. Right? This will ultimately settle everything.
We wouldn't have trouble getting 20 comics.
No, not at this point.
That was the case.
I'm telling you right now, dude.
Wow.
We're going to do this.
Comedian kickball challenge.
Hey.
It's
you know, I'm sitting here wondering what we're going to talk about at the opening of the show. And then you guys just came together, kickball.
It's like if MTV put together like a rock and jock of a show of people no one gives a shit about.
Dude, this is what you're going to do. We're going to get a camera, right? And listen, I'm producing this fucking thing.
Of course you are. You can have this.
You guys could be the captains. And if he doesn't want to do it, we'll find another captain. But I'm sure John will be a team player and he's ready to go. Because you guys are both big dudes. John's like 6'9 or something. You, what are you, 6'2, 6'3?
Yeah, 6'3.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's not like, you know, this is
6'3.
Yeah, you guys are big dudes, man. So let's get a fucking kickball match, right? And let's have a draft. We'll film it. Let's have a big draft. We'll have all the comics I want to be sitting. Like, we'll all be hanging out at, like, an open mic. You know, we'll have the fucking draft at an open mic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or before. So, fuck, we're doing this, man.
Facebook Live it.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can interview the players. You know, you can interview the players. Facebook Live. We can take wagers. You know what I mean? Let's make some fun with this.
Oh, exactly. That's so worth it.
Right? This could get viral.
Totally.
They've got to have something viral.
Elgin could be the promoter.
No, he's going to be the announcer. Yeah, he's going to be the fucking... Exactly. He's our Snopes guy. Listen, I'm the producer, not you. Shut the fuck up. All right, you just sit there and captain. Think about who you're going to start picking.
All right.
Somebody text John Gregory that he's... ask him if he wants... If anybody on Facebook Live, email him. Email John Gregory and ask if he wants to be a captain on the of a team to play against Fozzle and his selections of... let's say nine other, they could pick nine other people.
Right.
And then we'll get a pool of people, though.
It's so funny.
You know, and if you want to, like, pick me right now, you want to pick him, you could do that. Well, no, we got to wait. So
yeah, we'll have them together.
You have to have it in a big thing. So
exactly.
That's
It should be a bucket pull for teams.
No, I like the idea. These guys hate each other, so these guys got to pick their teammate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Whatever you pick.
You know, because you wouldn't want somebody who's maybe like a Fozzle dude playing on John's team, because then he's going to purposely drop the ball. You know, you want somebody, like, he's going to pick his teammates. This is important. Listen, you can't, you know, being captain isn't like, oh, I'm the guy who gets to wear the band. You know, being a captain means somebody on the team that's usually been through some shit with said, that person.
Exactly.
You know, that person needs to be the fucking captain. Where's my fucking...
Dougie,
see that captain fucking thing in my 4 year at my Coconut Creek High School? I was a captain, bitch.
Nice.
You know, you got to delegate. So listen, you're going to be a captain,
all right.
And John. And if not him, then maybe we'll have some other people.
Okay.
But that's what we're going to do. So like I said, if you know John Gregory, reach out to him and let him know that he's been. How would we say?
What are you saying? Fastle's calling him out.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything at all.
No, don't get him into shit. Listen, so
you guys started this whole thing.
Well, I'm just saying it's a competitive. It's a fun, exciting way to like, you know what I mean? It's like when Kevin Perry and I went on your fucking roast. We had the burnt toast roast.
That was funny.
You know, people didn't know if we're going to kill each other on the stage, but you know, I basically just destroyed him on the stage, and it was over. Put the open micer to bed. You know what I'm saying? And this may be a good way where here's a guy who's been talking a lot of shit about you. Right, and all kinds of stuff. Well, you guys can go to field. You can put on a team and just destroy this guy on kickball and say, fuck you, dude. I don't care what you say about my comedy, but you suck at kickball.
I have a lot of experience playing kickball, so this should be interesting.
Well, that's interesting. So it starts to thicken.
I'm no slouch.
That's what makes you a good captain.
There we go.
There you go. And you're an organizer.
Right. I have experience.
You think Tim Kirby would be one of your top picks as a...
Yeah, he'd be the manager. We'll have to manage the team.
He'd be the guy bringing the orange slices, Tim. All right, listen. So speaking of exciting things, those of you in the audience of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show may know this. Others may not, but it's just a week or two away from our own Elgin David becoming off the list. He'll no longer be available. He is going to be a married man.
Yeah.
In about a week, right? Week or 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
Congratulations, yeah. Elgin.
May 13th, the Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's an outdoor wedding?
It's, no, it's an indoor
wedding. Okay, good, because I worry about sweating.
I worry about raining.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing to worry about, too. It's like when I had a venue reach out to me and say, hey, we want to do shows. I heard you. Yeah, that's great. Where's the venue? Oh, it's at this place and this. Oh, that's not good. But where is it? How many of you seat? Well, we seat like 200. Whatever. I'm like, well, that's pretty big. That place doesn't, I don't remember being that. Oh, we do it outside.
Oh.
I went, well, what do you mean? And they're like, well, you know, we do it outside. I'm like in like from like November to March. You know, oh no, we're gonna really start it this summer. I'm like, you're fucking crazy.
It's be hot.
Right.
You know,
that's terrible.
You gotta have those big fans like the NFL have behind the benches, just blowing cold air and water.
Yeah,
that's what you'd have to do to the audience if you're doing shows like that in Florida.
You know what Elgin should do? He should have an open mic at his wedding.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I bet his wife's up for that.
That's actually exactly what she wants.
Maybe you're not going to be a good captain. Maybe, just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, though. One of the first things that she asked our wedding planner, she said, can I have an open mic at the wedding?
No.
No, she really did.
Stop.
See, I told you, Dougie.
No.
You're just global going for it over there.
She was like, I want Fasil Malik to headline my wedding.
Yeah. Open mic. Oh, you're the headliner.
Open mic.
How high was she, dude? Jesus.
I know.
That's the case. Well, that's exciting, dude. So, are you nervous? You get like, because I always say beforehand,
I'm so nervous.
No, I mean, come on.
He's I don't not know, guys. I really don't. I don't know, guys. I'm not nervous. I'm actually excited.
Right. Now you're living together. You've been living together how long?
For a while.
For a while.
Yeah.
All right. So you got to get to know each other a little bit. You've been dating how long?
Like 4 years.
All right. Good. That's it. You know, that's signs. And you guys are happy. You can tell.
Totally.
Right.
Absolutely.
Last time I saw you together.
Ridiculously through the roof happy. I love my baby. Hello, my darling.
All right.
Sorry.
So
I know she might be watching, so I'm like, you know.
No, she isn't.
I don't think anyone. Is anyone? Is there anyone out there?
Yeah.
Anyway. Hello. Hello.
So, all right. So you're not nervous.
No.
I got to admit.
I'm excited.
I wasn't. I had been with my wife for 12 years before we got married. So, you know, talk about knowing what we're getting into.
Yeah.
So I the morning I woke up with the wedding band on my finger.
Yeah.
Oof, you know, that's when I started going, oh, you know, like.
Oh, it sets in, huh?
See, I'm not a jewelry guy. Like, you know, I mean, I wear a watch, but I don't like wearing rings and shit.
Yeah.
So, and when I had it on, it felt weird. You know, it's like right away I woke up and I was pulling it on and off. And I'm like, oh, you know, this is, and then it all kind of, you know, the symbolism of it started getting to me. And you know what I mean? And then I started thinking about all those girls I used to bang. And
oh, no.
You know what I mean?
So you think, okay, I hear what you're saying.
Now, you know what I mean? I started thinking, but more importantly, I'm like, well, what if I'm into this and they're not into it? So all this shit started building up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm sitting in a hotel room in Vegas. I'm going,
uh-oh.
We got married in Vegas.
Did you feel like you had a shackle on your finger?
A shackle?
Yeah, like you were trapped with that ring.
It you know what I mean? It felt like it was just like condensing me into a box. Like, you know what I mean? Like the fact that I had it on, like, you know, like in the Lord of the Rings, when he takes it on, takes it off, he's invisible again.
Right.
When you put it on, oh, I'm fuck, here I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody can see me.
Yeah, it's like the opposite.
Everything's out there. So, you know, I don't know. So, no big deal, right?
Not at all, man. I'm excited.
You ever been married, Fozzle?
Never.
Have you ever been close to getting married? Like in your India, Pakistan, like they said, you're going to marry and...
My parents had an arranged marriage, so they never forced me to arrange marriage at all.
So they said, we ain't going to put you through that shit.
Exactly.
That's nice.
So, yeah, that was nice.
That was nice of them.
Those are.
Things are getting modern in the Middle East.
They are.
You know, like, look, they had WWE in Saudi Arabia this past weekend.
That's crazy.
That's different.
Yeah, that's...
You like the Saudis? Pakistanis like the Saudis?
Yeah, I was named after the King Faisal dynasty, and they're in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, so I guess that's a good sign with that. Okay,
exactly.
Cool. Is that what you get to? Is that what happens if you're on a plane with a Saudi fucking terrorist? You're going to use that story to kind of calm him down, Captain?
Exactly. That's what I'm going to do.
That's what a captain would do.
I'm going to tell my note Dougie Almeida to watch out.
Oh, don't do that. Don't make me get me involved in this shit.
All right.
So, all right, here's the interesting thing. Migrants are at the border. You see them all down there in San Diego border and Tijuana.
Oh, they made it?
They made it, and there's people just kind of going through, families and shit, you know.
I didn't see it.
It's happening.
Wow.
And,
we talked about it, I remember.
Yeah, you know.
They were on their way.
They're on their way. Over 100 of them were in Tijuana, and they were climbing it, and they were all up there, and people were waving on both sides, and it's a nice display, and it's beautiful. You know, and that's great when you see that, but I can't help but think about the people that are going through the process of doing it legally at the moment. And all the money and time and effort they're putting into it to just watch people just go, hey, I'm special. I'm ahead of everybody, and I'm going to take care of this shit. You know, I don't know. It's like, that's what I feel bad for. You know, listen, you know, we talked about it yesterday. Ethan Moore said he wishes that we didn't have any borders.
Wow.
Like, yeah, and I said, all right. Listen, if you're going to go with that, then here's the give and take of that. If that's going to happen, you're not going to have any borders, and you can't have any social welfare programs in your country.
That's true.
Citizenship loses, it becomes diluted.
Yeah.
When anybody can become, and you know, the value of something becomes diluted the minute the masses enter.
Right.
As a simple philosophy, like in comedy, right? Like in law. Like when I was in college, finishing college, I was going to go to law school, and all I kept hearing was law schools are full of fucking lawyers. You know what I mean? There was a bit, like everybody wanted to be a lawyer. You know, you want to be a doctor, that takes 8 years. Be a lawyer, you could do it in four, you know, two or three after college and shit. So, you know, I'm like, oh, a lot of people did it. So guess what? There's a lot of lawyers. Now you got lawyers doing all kinds. I do bankruptcies. I do divorces. I do immigration. Well, what do you do well? Whatever you need. Those aren't good lawyers.
No.
The good lawyers are the ones that do what the fuck they do, and that's it. And then when they have, oh, you need my immigration? Oh, I'll refer you to somebody. That's a great fucking lawyer. Not the one, oh, I can handle it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't want them guys.
Right.
So it dilutes So it's a bit of that, you know. Anyway, I don't give a fuck. I don't want to get cards and letters. I feel bad that you didn't let the Guatemalan woman in. Look, you know what I mean?
I mean, sometimes you do need borders, though, because...
You got to have borders.
Yeah.
It's protection of your country. You know, it's like, if you feel that way, leave your front door open.
Exactly. It's like no
right?
rules.
You, should leave, yeah. you shouldn't have a doors in your house. I mean, think about it. That's the consistency of it. Welcome, Peter Leonard, who didn't make it today. You all right, buddy? I hope you're good, man.
Petey.
Fozzle's doing such a great job, Pete, by
Petey.
The way.
Yeah, sorry, Peter. I'm missing you right now.
Any rate, you know, you guys are, you're both immigrants, in a sense.
My family immigrated from Pakistan.
Now, you became a citizen? Were you born here?
I was born here. Yeah. I lived in Pakistan for a couple years.
All right, but you were born here.
Yes, I was
born
here.
Your parents had to find citizenship, right?
Right.
There was a struggle when they did it.
Yeah, it was a little challenging,
right?
But they got
As we speak, my wife has family they sponsored from Cambodia, and they're going through a process of being here.
Wow.
You know, they have to go through a process and, you know, due course to become citizens here. You know what I mean?
How's that going?
It is. Here's the thing. They keep talking about people that get arrested and have to go back and deported, and they've been here for years. Why the fuck didn't you take care? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm not a fucking citizen, then take care of it.
Exactly.
My father wasn't a U.S. citizen until he was like 60. And then someone told him, well, you're not going to get Social Security unless you're a full citizen, which was bullshit because he was here. You know what I mean? In a sense.
Right.
He had some sort of visa, permanent. I don't know what the fuck it was, but he wasn't a citizen. So he got panicked, and what did he do? He fixed it. He didn't want to wait for somebody to go, well, you're fucked. Why? Well, you didn't pay attention to the... Well, let's see. Who cares? Let them all in. And all those people at the border should let them come to their house. Stay with them.
Having no borders is like driving on the road with no rules.
Thank you.
Complete anarchy.
See, that's brilliant radio right there, buddy.
There we go.
You know what I'm saying, Fonzo? That's what it's like. If you believe on that, then you shouldn't have any doors in your house.
Exactly.
You should not have a door in your house. You should have those beads that hang down, right? Like, you make a little separation, like you want to let know it's a door, but it's not like it's imposing, oh, I can't go through the beads. You know what I mean? Anybody can come in.
Exactly. Imagine a comedy show with no rules.
Well, you just mentioned half the open mics in our fucking town.
Yeah.
No rules. You have a lot of rules at the open mics. Oh, all yeah. right. While we're still opening part of the show, how are things going? Spill the beans. Great show. I had a fun. I was there in April.
Thank you.
You weren't there.
I was in Chicago, but I heard great things about you. And there was a gay couple or something you had to interact with.
Dude, it was so funny. You know what I mean? Nothing better than when you. You know, you're doing material, and the material blends into the crowd, and they get into it so much that you have fun with it. Like, they have a couch on their stage.
Yes.
It's like a love seat, and there was a woman and a guy in it, and they're basically to your right. They're on the stage with you. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, good-looking guy, good shape, and, you know, woman, nice woman.
Right.
And they're sitting there, a couple, and she goes, this is my gay friend. And I had asked if he liked buttercream. One of my other jokes earlier, and I go, oh, you don't like buttercream. You like butt. You know? I just like the butt. I don't want no buttercream because that could be nasty. All right. So, we had a good time.
No, you did a good job. Like, people came to see you. So
yeah, it was a draw. Did you hear that,
Elgin? You are a draw.
People actually saw my shit, and they said, I want to go see this guy.
Wow.
Did you deal with that crazy heckler, though? Because I heard like there was this woman that came in and she was just trash. Did you deal with that or no? At that
not me.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, you mean Lindsay Glazer? You're talking about the woman who came in her?
No, she did well. She had a fan base. Someone else. But
yeah, Yeah, okay. She was on there and Brett Engel was on the show, right?
Yeah.
And it was a fun time, man. Nice little, everybody, 50 people crammed in a room, but it's intimate. You're right there, spotlight where you can't see for fucking 3 days. You know, you got to lower that. You got to figure out this other spotlight, dude.
It's real bright, right?
I mean, the whole time I thought I was on a tunnel with an oncoming train. You know, it's pretty, you know, it's amazing I saw anybody in the audience. So how's that going?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's comics are just reaching out to me to try to go in the room, and like bigger comics are coming in. Like Mike Vecchione's coming.
Right.
We had Mike Kaplan. So I'm fortunate. I feel like it's the scene. Like, people are supporting it.
Right.
People are coming. Audience members are coming out. That's what's making it successful.
Well, if you have a good show, they'll come back, right? It's like a restaurant. You have a good dish of food, you're going to go back.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I've seen what you did with Tavolino's and kind of learned from there, too.
Yeah. It's all about quality, dude. And you ever, being with that, you ever deal with some, you know, you ever have somebody, we won't mention names, but you ever have somebody who says, hey, I want to perform there. And you're like, ah, you know.
Yeah, I've had one guy I put up recently a month ago, and he's contacted me four times to get back on.
Yeah. I want to come back. Dude, you're just here. Yeah.
He had someone else Facebook me that, oh, this guy's so awesome. Can you put him back on?
Oh, that's funny.
And someone told me to tell him to. Have you had that happen to you?
Yeah, I had somebody do that, actually on this podcast.
No way.
We had a guy who used to sit on the podcast, and the guy was like, you know, what happened to so-and-so? Well, he was great. He was like the best part of the show. Like, well, he was a fucking douche, so I stopped. You know, the guy was new on the show, and he was fucking with me every like, smart-mouthed me the whole time.
Right.
I'm like, all right, dude, you got to earn that right. Like, he can do it. Elgin could do it. Peter Leonard could do it. You know what I mean?
Ciro, I love when Peter does it.
Ciro can do it, right? Because yeah. they know me to fuck with me. You can't fuck with me. You don't really know me.
Exactly. You know what's funny? I hate when people do that when they first meet you and they already think that they know you like that.
Yeah, you don't know me good enough, motherfucker.
Now, I was like, yo, step the fuck back up, man. Met you, man.
Me and the comic put this to bed recently, so I'm not even mention his name. But at the old New York Comedy Club, I was up there doing my shit, and this comic went up. And he called me the fat guy. He goes, here for the fat guy, you know, like basically. So he walked off stage. I go, dude, did you just call me the fat guy and you're fucked before you started your set? He goes, no, I said that guy. I go, no, you didn't. And then the bartender at the club goes, yeah, you said fat guy. And then I go, motherfucker, you don't know me. I just met this, you know, I just known him for. You don't know me well enough. You who the fuck are you to go, you know, just diss on my, you know, my show. Who I am. I just said I'm the fat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You, who the fuck? You know, oh, you know. Yeah.
Ooh, hit,
maybe man. He meant to call you fat like cool.
Yeah.
Like PH fat.
Yeah.
Like PH fat.
Yeah. I don't know. But you know what? You're right. You know, if you don't know me well, you don't know us well enough. And everybody likes to bust balls. And sometimes people do that in the comedy scene just because they want to be, you know, like, I want to be one of the crowd. You know what I mean?
I feel like sometimes people talk trash just to get attention because they're not really making it, and by talking trash, their name gets out there.
All right,
that's why I don't talk trash.
So let's get some shit done when we talk about talking trash, and hopefully we get this kickball game going. But John Gregory, right? And he basically called you a joke thief, and I actually witnessed a night where I was at Taurus,
right?
And he was hosting, and he introduced you, and he ripped you before the introduction, which I thought was unprofessional of an MC. If you have a personal thing with somebody on the show, keep it to yourself. You don't broadcast. That's my opinion of it. You know what I mean? You wouldn't do that. And well, again, and let me say this. When, as a human being, I do things that I wish I didn't do. Or if I had thought it through, I would have done it differently.
Yeah.
So
everybody does.
Everybody understand that anything like that's ever pointed out, it's that we've all done it. And the fact that it's pointed out, own up to shit and don't fucking let it get to you. You know what I mean? Like, if you've done something fucked up and somebody says, dude, that was fucked up, the quicker you go, yeah, you're right. I was kind of fucked up. I don't know what I was thinking. You know, as opposed to, what do you know? Fuck you. You know, grow up, motherfucker. So everybody does shit like that. So I wasn't happy that night. I even told you. I said, I thought that was kind of fucked up because that fucks your situation up. You know, you're ready to go do comedy. You traveled. You spent the whole day thinking about what the fuck you're going to do. And then this shit came up.
Actually, yeah, you know what? I kind of sensed it. It was like middle of the Thursday because it was Thursday night that he was hosting. So I went up all the way to Brew House, an hour and a half from my house, to do stage time. In case he does something like that, I still had stage time.
So you went from your house all the way to Jupiter, Florida? Like,
yeah.
You're talking about God's end of the earth. That's one of the things you got to like about Fozzle. This kid's dedicated.
Oh, my God. He's the one of the hardest working comedians.
Right? He's busting his ass, right? I mean, he's funny as a fucking traffic cone. But you know what I mean?
It's all good. It's motivational, Dougie. I don't mind.
You know, I've always been honest with
Thank you
about
you. I appreciate
shit.
That.
And let me ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I appreciated that all my life by people to help me building what I want. You know, I didn't want people to blow smoke up my ass.
That's how you get stronger is with feedback.
Yeah. You know, as an athlete, whatever it is, that's where I grew up with. If you were fucking up or not doing well, they would tell you. You know, I went, oh, it's good. Good for you. You're doing fine. Keep going, buddy. You know, it wasn't that kind of shit.
That doesn't help you.
Right.
You're not going to be motivated. Yeah, so I did stage time there. That way, when I came in Miami and he was trashing me, I was prepared. And
yeah, like, whatever. Like, I've already done my shit. I've gotten stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
Now, did it ever come to blows? Did you guys ever get close to, like, getting in a situation where it almost got physical?
No, the thing is, I take the Mahatma Gandhi approach, where it's
I
like...
I thought you said you called your mama. Did it sound like you said, I call my mama?
Mahatma. Okay.
Mahatma Gandhi.
There we go. So the thing is, if you're trashing someone, you're no different than them. So that's why I don't trash people.
You know, right. You don't turn around and...
Yeah, but let me ask you this. When was the last time a comic you've heard got, like, physical with each other? Does that even happen ever?
Well, most of them are pussies. Let's face it.
Jet Wilson got physical in Atlanta a few days ago.
Jet Wilson?
Yeah.
Is he a Miami comic?
He was
and moved out to Atlanta?
Yes, yeah.
All right.
So,
what happened?
So what happened? Someone tried to fight him?
Oh, yeah, no. At a mic. Someone tried to fight him, and he messed him up.
Jay Wilson fucked him up.
He yeah. got them hands.
He's a boxer.
He got them. He got them hands. Yeah. If you know Jay Wilson, he got them hands.
With a name
that's
like
it.
Jay Wilson, fuck.
Exactly.
That or he runs fast.
You don't mess with a boxer.
Now you know it's funny too because when, I've seen that happen. You know, being around people like that. Like,
right.
I've been around guys and I train with where we're out and some big dude starts fucking with somebody. You're like, oh, don't do this. Man. You know what I mean? Like,
you know,
I remember being. We were in Orlando one time Remember when the Disney, the adult Disney was there, where they had all the clubs and shit?
Yeah, yeah, I
can't remember what it was called. Yeah, they had like, and I'm there, we're there from a fucking Taekwondo tournament, the state Taekwondo championships, and we're at the club, and we're like five black belts just hanging out.
Yeah.
And this fucking one big dude, bald fucking guy, all badass and shit, fucking started mouthing off to the guy who's like a third degree black belt. We're like, and then his buddies are hanging out. Like, this guy could, you know what I mean? Like, it was comical because we're all thinking, how funny is it going to be when not only does he get his ass whooped, but all his friends' ass whooped. You know, it's one thing you fuck around, that was a bad idea. I won't be such a dick next time. But then if you get all your buddies fucked up, you know what I mean? So he mouthed off, it was Steve or somebody, and he walks up to the guy, like, yeah, and he's like just looking at him, smiling. The guy's like, all grin face, and we're looking, this is going to go. This guy just made the worst decision. You know what I mean?
It's going to turn into a fucking Jackie Chan movie.
Dude,
in there.
Jackie fucking
shit breaking.
Like Roadhouse, bitch.
And then they closed Downtown Disney, right?
Yeah, that's what caused the whole close. But, you know, so do you think you could take John Gregory if it came down to it?
I'm not even talking trash about John.
Listen, whenever you get into a confrontation with somebody, you know, that's some of the things I always visualize. Like you know, when things happen with Kevin Perry, when things happen with other comics, you know, Fat John, you know, I would always say, look, whatever it came down to it, how would it go down?
You got to believe in yourself. You have to believe in yourself.
You know how to throw a punch?
What's the purpose of
living? You know how to throw a punch?
I can throw a punch.
Yeah, when's the last time you punched a bag or you know?
I don't remember. Like I said, I'm not really looking right. to be violent.
I know you don't. You don't know if you don't know how well you can punch.
Yeah, I don't know.
How to kick? Have you ever kicked anything?
Kickball.
Yeah. Okay.
So
this is why this is a great idea, because if we have a kickball game, everybody can take out that frustration and physicality into the ball.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
That's true.
So I think that's going to be a good idea.
Nah, for sure.
It's pretty dodgeball. That'd be
no,
fun.
Dodgeball's not my thing.
No.
It's like having a storytelling comedy contest with me. It's not my tutorial.
Well,
that.
You know, that's fun too. If you think about it, dodgeball would actually be kind of fun.
It would be, but I think kickball's safer.
Yeah, yes. It's less.
It's lit.
Yeah. I think so. I think you're right on that.
It's a better choice for everyone's faces.
Oh, right. Boy. At any rate. I had a couple other things I wanted to talk about today. We're going to skip this one subject because we're having too much fun, and this is too serious. But the one I do want to talk about is, we mentioned it yesterday, but the Simpsons creator Matt Groening on Apu controversy. You know, the big thing about, you know, again, you being Pakistani.
Right.
You know, there's been recent, all of a sudden, after 30 fucking years of doing a TV show, which actually just surpassed Gunsmoke or something like that as the longest running TV series ever.
The Simpsons?
The Simpsons. It now is the longest running TV, not just cartoon, series, right, officially, where they got with this political correctness about Apu. And it's like, it's racist that he's, you know, the comments and the jokes that they're using. You know, I mean, you're from that part of the country. You're Southeastern Asian. So so what do you think? Do you get offended when you watch The Simpsons?
I just laugh because I think they make fun of all stereotypes. It's not just South Asian
right.
people to make fun of.
So at a collective, you were understanding that it's all a mockery. It's like all of, it's a cartoon, for God's sake.
It shows everyone.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It dictates everybody's silliness of white people. Oh, you know, I'm the principal, you know, that fucking guy to, you know, whatever.
It's like telling a comedian not to tell certain jokes because they're offensive.
Well, you know, what's happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and, you know, we mentioned this a few times. I don't give a fuck what that person did. That person got hired to do her job. She did it. You know, and it's a roast, and,
Michelle Wolf.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Who gives a fuck, you know? And I was telling you, I don't know if I'd ever take that gig. You know what I mean? That's a gig I'd be like, how much does it pay? You know, like, how fucking this could this go? You know, but...
What if it paid you six figures?
I'd do it.
Exactly.
I'd do it for 25 grand, buddy.
There you go.
At this point, why not? And then, listen, if I did it, I know I'd get a lot of Twitter followers.
Yeah, you won a roast battle before.
And so. I would try to make fun of everybody. I would try to make fun of everybody. The key is I would try to write jokes that were funny because they're funny.
Right.
You know, I don't think I, you know.
You need to be mean.
Yeah.
Like super mean.
Yeah, like point out funny, things, you know.
Without being like really mean.
Yeah.
She was really mean.
That's what they took it as. They took it as.
It was funny, though. But it was. Yeah. It was.
It's comedy. Listen, that's what it is. She did her job.
And it was a roast. That's what she was there to do.
She did her job. You know, and she's not complaining. She's fucking happy with all the attention. you know, who worries about that?
Could that count as a credit for her?
Were you crazy? That's not her on her resume?
It should be.
I was the White House. I was the headliner at the White House Correspondents Dinner. Yeah, we heard.
Well, she's about. Doesn't she have an HBO special?
Yeah, Netflix and shit coming out, all kinds. She's going to have a regular weekly show on Netflix, for God's sakes. That's the shit right there.
You should bring her on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be jump right on that fucking invitation.
Does it pay six figures?
You know what I'll do, Fozzle? I'll have you go to one of her next shows and then wait for her to walk off and then approach her.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we know that's a lesson too, right?
Yeah, I'm such a natural. I'm such a natural with women.
Never do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I joke with him the time he went up to Jim Florentine after Jim headlined at the, was that the home field?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. I tried to give him a tag or something.
Yeah, and you pissed off Tim Hanlon because you're sitting there in the front with your fucking notes on your phone. Tim's on stage and fucking Fozzle's sitting there 6 foot three of him in the fucking first chair in the front row, and he's on his phone taking notes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Fozzle goes up to Florentine after the show and goes, "Hey, Jim, I watches you great, funny, and you know, I just want to let you know I had a few tagged notes I wanted to share with you." And Jim's like, "Oh, really? That's nice." look, I can't wait to hear them.
I know. Right? I learned. Like, he's a headliner.
Yeah. What the fuck do you want to get? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, the good thing is you're busting your ass and you're learning as you go.
Thank you.
You're learning. It's as the Marines say, learning by fire.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what learning by fire is. You fuck up. You don't. And that's the thing. You're not a pussy. Right. You get up. You don't. You know, some people. I can't believe people mistreat me this way. But, you know, fuck it. Stand up to it. Right.
That's what I learned about comedy. The more you go up, the better you get. There's no substitution for stage time.
No, there isn't. If you stick to it, you could be. You could really, as long as you stick to it. Now, there's some people need to fucking quit. You know, there's some people just
true.
Yeah. There's some people that used to move on, like start doing karaoke or, you know, take on kickball and shit. You know, maybe start a new hobby. You know, find another group of friends.
Do the same 5 minutes forever. Oh, those people.
I can't stand it when I go to an open mic and I hear the same fucking set from somebody. I'm like, how much more are you going to perfect it?
Exactly.
Well, that being said, it's time.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. Is that good, Snopes?
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Our first story today, now this is a bit, this is a thing, we're getting into racism here, but let's see, there's an Asian eatery that they call Yellow Fever.
Oh boy.
Facing backlash over the name after new location opens sides a Whole Foods 365. I guess that's a Whole Foods that's open every day, 24 hours a day or something.
Oh, okay.
That's what 365 would mean, I'd imagine, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yellow fever. I have yellow fever. I've had it a long time. I don't know if it'd keep me from eating at a place. In Long Beach, the proprietors of a small Southland chain of Pan-Asian restaurants is facing a backlash over opening of their newest location, but they are taking all negative hype in stride, much like you do, Fozzle. The eatery Yellow Fever, which has its motto, Asian Bowls, for your soul, opened its latest locale Wednesday at the new Whole Foods 365 in Long Beach. What do you think? Yellow fever?
It doesn't bother me. No. I know you have yellow fever.
I know, but
it,
you know,
it hasn't stopped you from eating there before in the past.
I'll eat it
what
there.
Are they trying to lose money? Is that their goal? Let's name
what?
It.
Well, it seems like, just ridiculous. As long as you don't have a bunch of guys there, like chubby like fucking Italian guys looking for Asian chicks.
What were they thinking when they gave it that name?
I think they wanted a name that people would not forget.
Like,
that's what I think.
Yellow fever. Like, what does that even mean?
You got
when
a fever for
to...
Asian food.
Right.
Yellow fever can mean you like really nice Asian rugs.
Or
you know?
you're sick.
Or you like Bruce Lee movies. I was shocked, and I find it offensive, Oh, did I miss who said this? Shit. Oh, no. That's what I was shocked, and I find it offensive. Bryn Inks told the news, adding this name is basically suggesting that sexual connotation towards Asians. Well, see, this person thinks with their dick. You know, the person that's offended, that's how they think of shit, and that's why they get pissed, because they don't realize that not everybody thinks like that fucking
exactly.
asshole.
Exactly.
Right? These are the people that speak up like, oh, I can't believe, how can you say that? That means you want to fuck Asians. That means you want to fuck Asians. That's not a bad thing. What's up, Peter Kramer? You have yellow fever, buddy?
She's just soft. That's what it comes down to. Can't handle the truth.
Yeah. The reaction was similar on social media. One person tweeting, well, I guess Whole Foods is out of the closet with their racist Asian fetish. Another retweet, 365's photo read, today in bad product ideas. I mean, the name, you know. What is like another sexual connotation, like if you like a certain race?
Well, they have, you know, jungle fever is one.
Okay, you're right. Jungle fever.
Yellow fever.
That's what
the whole fever thing is, right? It's like all those. What is another one? What would it be? I don't even know.
Oh, asking me a sex question. Yeah, that's great.
Is there a Pakistani fever?
Yeah.
Is there a purple fever? Is there orange fever?
Is there Indian fever?
Downward dog fever.
That's curry fever.
Yeah. What the fuck? I mean.
I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if there's clubs called Jungle Fever. That's a club, though. Yeah, I've heard, you know, whether it's on TV or, I mean, Jungle Fever. You know, I don't know if you get, like, I don't know if you can, like, open a ribs place called Jungle Fever. Right?
Well, yeah, probably not.
And they have all these sexy sisters serving your food. You know, wearing fucking little shorts, you know, and do twerking.
Like, oh, it'd be a restaurant.
Yeah.
But an astaurant.
That's right. It'd be an astaurant.
You know what? That's a whole new lane no one's done yet. So it's all been titty restaurants like Twin Peaks, Hooters. Fucking Tilted Kilt. It's all like about boobs. So we should do a restaurant that's all about the ass.
You ready? Are you ready?
What?
Twerks.
Ah.
Dude.
Drop the mic.
Hooters?
And the twerks. W will be a butt.
You guys patent that.
Yeah, twerks. And that's the new restaurant. And we'll serve chicken wings, same shit, all the same shit. Yeah. Oh, but we all serve wings, like you said, like barbecue.
Yeah.
Ribs.
Kidding me?
Brisket. Fucking, I don't know.
You name it.
Everything.
Cotlin greens.
And you can get your food from Yellow Fever.
Pork and beans.
No. We don't want
to. Twerks.
Yeah, that'll be in the mall. Imagine if you go to the mall in the future and they have, instead of having like Chick-fil-A and fucking Sombrero's pizza, you got Yellow Fever and you got twerks.
Yeah.
I want some ass.
And they're like, hey, boo. And they come to the table and they all have the same little, like,
yeah.
They should all wear like short boy shorts or like yoga pants or those. You know how you ever see a, oh my God.
Dolphin shorts.
Yoga pants make girls' ass look so good.
Exactly. We'd be clothing them more than
I think
the
they make
would.
Them like that on purpose.
Yeah. That's what they wanted you to focus your mind.
Yeah, man.
It's something to do with your mind focus.
I'm telling you, those Lululemon pants.
Peter
man.
Leonard says beaver fever.
Beaver fever.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish you could be here. Oh,
that's real nice to say, Elton.
No, I do. He's sending in his jokes like via
the owner of the
Facebook.
Establishment
it's
of Yellow
awesome.
Fever says, I hope that once they come in and try our food and see us for who we are and who we are trying to be, that they realize that they're picking on a little kid, you know, chuckled Kim, the owner. Their success so far in Long Beach location might indicate the larger public sentiment. They told the news the location outperforming her two older locations by 100%.
Wow.
I guess a lot of people in that part of town have yellow fever. And, you know, if you do, there's no better place to go visit than Seattle or California because you'll be inundated with opportunity.
I bet you the food's really good and this is going to get them a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Now.
That's why they do it.
I think it's more than a Whole Foods place. There's something in the back.
Yeah,
that's what I
is
think.
A rub and tug.
Yeah, that's probably it. That's why they call it yellow fever.
You're so racist, dude.
You're saying
so
it.
Fucking racist. Yeah, okay. I can't believe you.
Yeah, okay.
It's disgusting.
Sure.
Well, that's gonna be cool. Any rate, daughter jailed for leaving mother to die in her own feces.
What?
What? I mean, you know what I mean?
Man, I don't want to hear that story, Dougie.
You know,
a mother jailed for letting a baby die in her shit.
Not a baby.
What
the daughter.
Say? Oh, a daughter. How old?
Older daughter. Older mom. Makes sense now.
Oh, the mom died?
Yeah.
Oh, the daughter let the mom die. In
daughter
shit.
Jailed for leaving mother to die in her own caca.
Oh.
A British woman.
That sucks.
Was sentenced to jail on Friday for neglecting her mother, who was found dead on a sofa sitting in a pool of diarrhea.
Man, that's really shitty, bro.
That is.
Shitty way to go.
So shitty.
Police said Emma Jane Kurtz, 41, of Oxshire, was found guilty of the Oxford Crown Court of willful neglect. Judge Peter Ross said Kurtz would serve at least half of her 2.5-year sentence in prison in her own shit. No, I just made that up.
That would be funny.
Kurtz's mother, Cecily Kurtz, 79, was discovered by police on July 2nd at her at their family home. Police said officers found the elderly woman dead on her sofa, covered in her own excrement, and had numerous urine burns on her body.
That's
her
terrible.
Underwear, which had once been white, was now deep mahogany brown. Anybody in the mood for coffee?
Doggy.
Yeah. So, why? Yeah, you know what? Mom's a mess. I'm not going to go fucking see her anymore.
What the hell?
Kids today, man.
Yeah, she just couldn't get off that tablet. She kept playing the
She was probably on some drugs.
Can somebody help me take a shit? I've got to go to the loo. Somebody help me. I've got to go poo. Speaking of poo, rotten durian smell prompts evacuation of an Australian university. Durian's that smelly fruit. You know, it looks like a pineapple.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
an Asian
yeah.
fruit.
Yeah.
Right? April 29th, a pungent fruit prompted hundreds of people to evacuate a university library in Australia when the smell was mistaken for a gas leak. Run for your lives!
It's my lunch!
I totally didn't want egg salad. Melbourne's Metropolitan Fire Brigade said crews were called to a university in the city's central business district around 3 p.m. on Saturday after the smell of gas was reported. It's fucking fruit. Approximately 500 students and teachers were evacuated by Victoria Police. As a precaution, which is an investigation was launched into the source of the smell, as the building was known to store potentially dangerous chemicals. Following the search, fire brigades discovered the source of the smell was some guy in the toilet. Oh, good. A durian which had been left rotting in the cupboard. Oh, that's never going to leave.
You got to get rid of that whole
thing. Do you ever
have
a smell? You ever smell a smell so bad that even though you're gone out of the area, like it's stuck to your nostril hairs? Like you could still smell it?
Yeah, my college roommate.
Yeah?
He just stunk.
You know what I mean?
To high heaven.
Really?
Yes.
When somebody really smells like that, do you tell them?
You have to, because if you don't, they're going to still be like that.
Right? I mean,
you have to say something.
I try to pay him to not be my roommate. He got offended.
I mean, he always smelled?
He always smelled.
So was it a bathing thing? Or some people are just sick and they can't help it, but they just stink.
That's true. He was wondering, I don't know, he's wondering why he never got women. And I'm just like, take them.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, yeah. Dude, what do you think my problem is?
Well, they can't get it within 10 feet of you.
Well, it's hard to have sexual contact when you smell like a walking piece of turd.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, and he was your roommate?
Yes.
So that means when he sits down on the couch and shit, that stays.
Right.
When people stink that bad, they leave their shit.
Yeah, it lingers.
Right. It just sticks around. It's like if there's a visual image of them, there'd be like a constant shadow following around, like a fucking pig pen.
That's why I was never in that room.
Oh, wow. I would.
How long did you have to live with them?
For like a year.
Oh, that's
it was
terrible.
Tough.
You ever do any comedy about that?
No, I should. Now that you mentioned
it.
You
really should.
Yeah, thank you.
I had a stinky ass roommate. I'd already been doing it in my open mic sessions. Yeah, so it turned out to be some nasty fruit.
Oh.
That's a lot of Asian foods do that. My wife, you know, a lot of times there's food that smells horrible, but it's delicious.
Oh, that's good.
You know, I mean, you know what it's like, guys, to eat something that smells horrible.
But it tastes good, yeah.
That tastes good. California shop cranks classic music to dissuade loitering. Have you got bums outside? No better way to get them out of there by playing some Lawrence Welk. Modesto, California, 7-Eleven has found a way to keep people from panhandling and loitering outside the store. Crank up classic music. How about a little bit of Mel Tillis? Sukai Sandu, who owns the franchise of Modesto, said that his customers tell him they feel safer since he started blasting symphonies and occasional operas over the outdoor speakers. Once the music started, The riffraff left.
Why would they get homeless people leaving, though? They're like, this music's too good for me?
I mean, think about it. I mean, you're okay. I'm at the reason why people hang outside of 7-Eleven is to ask for change. Plenty of people coming in and out with money in their pocket. You don't walk into a 7-Eleven unless you have money. You can't walk into a 7-Eleven. Sorry, I don't have no money, buddy. What the fuck? So they panhandle.
Right.
And
well, that's more like loitering.
That is loitering.
Yeah, it's not panhandle. Panhandling would be like either like selling stuff and then busking if they were like playing an instrument or something, which would be cool. But they're just standing there going, can I get your change? Can I get your change?
Yeah. Can you help a brother out?
No.
And I hate when they come up to you at the gas. I hate when they come up to you when you're pumping gas. Because the minute somebody comes up to me and says, dude, I don't know you and get the, you know what I mean? I don't know if you have a fucking weapon. Stand down. I got a gun. They're, oh, fuck. And they walk away.
Nice.
I'm not, you know what I mean? You don't want to take that chance. Some guy who looks like a bum comes up to you and sticks a fucking knife into your back.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he takes away your car. You know, fuck that. The world's a crazy place. Wake up, motherfuckers.
Very crazy place.
So how's the classical music keep them away?
Classic music is a part of a 7-Eleven program to encourage non-confrontational methods to reduce loitering.
Gotcha.
Great idea.
But what does it do? How does that work?
But they still can't have a fucking... They still don't have a slurping machine that isn't broken. It eliminates any risk faced by clerks when asking panhandlers to leave. Another method employed at some stores is a device that emits a high-pitched screech.
Wow, so the dogs get scared.
Similar to mosquito buzzing. Clerks turn the device on and off as needed, and they see a bunch of people.
Holding their heads.
That's so cruel, but it's funny.
That is funny.
Right? Fuck 7-Eleven. You got
to
love them.
That would be funny, actually, to watch that happen. It's like when the dog has a little collar on, they get shocked.
Yeah.
All the people are just, oh my God.
Yeah. We received very positive feedback from our customers about the atmosphere created when the music. Yeah, because if you walk up and you hear that, it's got to be soothing.
Right.
But if you're sitting there for like 5 hours. You know, and you're hearing Beethoven's Fifth, you know.
Yeah, but what if it's a real sophisticated homeless guy?
Yeah, the good he luck with
like,
that one.
He might like that shit.
He used to be the bass, the cello player for the Boston fucking Philharmonic.
I get it now. I get it why it's annoying. It's like hearing that drop of water constantly for like an hour.
A little torturous.
Yeah, it makes
it's
sense.
It's the same. Like any, you could play anything. I think I ought to play Neil Sedaka records. That'll get rid of anybody.
Exactly.
Or just show him in that stupid tracksuit he used to wear. Weird dude, Neil Sedaka.
Strange.
Where are we out of time? Oh, good. Here's a story. The poop train reign of terror in a small town of Alabama has ended. This is a shitty show today, by the way.
The poop train reign?
Yeah. There was a train that had all this shit in it, like manure.
Okay.
And it got stuck. Like, they couldn't, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
You imagine your neighbor, why is the truck stopped there, Mama? It smells like shit. It's not often a town of roughly 1,000 makes national news. It's not often a town faces a plight so ripe for media. In Parrish, Alabama, for upwards of 2 months, a train brimming with sewage sludge has been squatting uninvited near fields used for both baseball simmering in the afternoon sun. We'll just store it over here where they play baseball. Making its noisome presence known, even in the darkness of night. Yeah, shit smells whether it's light out or not.
What's it cause the conductor to smell bad wherever he went?
Yeah, that poor guy, he's probably your old roommate.
Exactly.
He probably says, what's that? I don't smell anything.
Yeah, that's another thing about a smell. When you're like in it,
you don't recognize. Yeah.
Yeah, you get acclimated to it.
Right.
And you don't even notice it. And you might fucking stink.
Right. Like, well,
like that. The people who work in situations like this, they must have no sense. Yeah. What is it?
Lose
smell?
Their sense of smell a little
bit.
Sense
of smell.
They're not as sensitive. Like, you could fart next to them and they wouldn't know. Right? Like, that's a safe one. Hey, where do you work? I work at the sewage plant. Okay, in that case.
You probably wouldn't want to be next to them.
No.
To fart next to them.
Let's see here. Appears that the tiny town was finally waking from its long nightmare. Wonderful news on Facebook. One might describe as remarkable. Understatement. Containers of excrement aboard the train have been transported to emptied at their intended destination.
So they had all this shit stuck in the train.
Yeah, they were backed up.
And they finally, they got it.
They
got
were backed
it out.
Up.
They got it out.
Somebody had to eat a prune. And there you go.
Good for them. Everything came out all right in the end.
Well, the town's all right, except for one thing. It smells like shit. Why? Well, there's this train that's stuck there. Speaking of ingenuity and somebody who's got... This guy might be a future fossil. 12-year-old takes a solo vacation. Right? When I was 12 years old, I was trying to play truth or dare with the sexy girl down the street.
Did they pay for it?
12-year-old Australian boy used his parents' credit card to book himself a flight and a hotel in Indonesia. He had yellow fever, too.
Wow.
at the Indonesian resort of Bali. Eventually, authorities tracked him down. Kind of hard, not hard to find a 12-year-old wearing a man's suit. Good morning, I'm Rachel Martin.
He was stacked he was stacked on his friend's shoulders in a trench coat.
Him and his buddy.
Yeah, stacked up on each other, walking.
We could do it. Didn't we do a story not too long ago where somebody tried to get into the movie, the Black Panther or something?
Oh, they did, yeah.
Two kids sitting on each other's shoulders.
Imagine being 12 taking a vacation. That'd be so cool, though.
Yeah, did he get away with it?
Probably not. He's 12.
How far did he get?
This is a trance. Let's see. Okay. Good morning. I'm Rachel Martin, a 12-year-old Australian boy who really wanted to go on a vacation. So when his parents canceled the trip to the Indonesian resort island of Bali, the kid decided to take their credit card and book himself a flight and a hotel. The airline was happy with his student ID as passport.
Nice.
Eventually, authorities tracked him down. The boy said he wanted an adventure. He sure got one, but he might not be getting any allowances or any allowance for a while. Because the trip cost several thousand dollars.
Well, they didn't refund them? Come on.
He went?
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you.
It better be an amazing vacation if he's not getting allowance for a while.
Damn, but that's...
Unless he has some cheap-ass parents.
Yeah.
He ain't getting no more allowance. That's horrible. How much is it? 14 pence. What? I don't even think that's a currency anymore.
Right.
And in our final story of the day, very excited to hear that Caitlyn Jenner is going to marry a transgender student 47 years her junior.
What?
You going to Snope it?
I got to look that up because I don't believe it.
All right. Hold on. Snopes is on it. But while you're doing that, I'll...
So he's marrying a girl or she?
I think it was a guy who transgendered to a girl.
That's crazy. That's like the inverse.
He's not gay, though. I know. Caitlyn Jenner to marry a transgender student 47 years her junior. As it's revealed, she hasn't met Khloe and Kim's babies yet. The former Olympian and recent reality star is reportedly planning to tie the knot in an intimate ceremony. It would be intimate. Caitlyn Jenner has said time and time again that she's just friends with blonde bombshell fucking pop-up abs, Sophia Hutchins. But now it's being reported that they are getting married, much like Elgin. after their close friendship was described as a mother and daughter relationship.
Wow.
It is now said that they've been dating, much like one of those porns where stepmom bangs stepdaughter.
And oh, those are my favorite.
Aren't they the best? You don't know how to lick a dick. Let me show you.
Let me show you how to do it.
Give me your boyfriend's cock. Daddy ain't coming home for a couple hours. After their close relationship was described, and things are getting serious very quickly despite their 47-year age gap. If Caitlin, 68, married 21-year-old student Sophia, it would be her fourth marriage before transitioning in 2015. She tied the knot three times as Bruce to Christy Crownover in 1972, Linda Thompson in 1981, and to Kris Jenner in 1991. So, Caitlin has six, but who gives a shit?
I think Caitlin just wants attention. That's why she does this stuff.
All nonstop?
Desperate.
I want to be on a cereal box again.
Exactly.
Now a source close to the star has told Heat Magazine, Kate really sees herself spending the rest of her life with Sophia, which won't be that long anyway. She lost her support system when she fell out with her family these days. It feels like Sophia is the only person she can count on. So bad for you.
You have a box of tissues about to cry.
I know. She's hardly been in touch with the famous family ever since she took a massive swipe at ex-Chris in her autobiography. Ooh. The source added the mag, Caitlin is a complete outcast. Yeah, see? That's what happens. You want to change your sex? Make everybody fucking, nobody has knew how to deal with it.
Well, I guess the five gold medals isn't enough. She wants more.
Right, she. Yeah. Way to get it.
Wait,
right.
Wait, so but. You're saying she's a complete outcast now?
From the Kardashians, yeah.
Really? Wow.
Mm. They don't like her anymore. Yeah, can you imagine if a Kardashian doesn't like you? You must have a fucking issue. Exactly. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Wow.
Did you snope it yet? Is that a true story or not?
You know what? It's not coming up as false.
Oh, there you go.
Just yet, so I don't know.
And thanks for Elgin David for joining us today.
It is always a good time, and thanks for having me.
You got it. May 13th, he's getting married. May 12th, you can't do the show. That's right, I forgot. But you were, what are we doing? You got something coming up with us? I don't know. That's right, we did have the one that got canceled.
Yes, we did have that show.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'll be at Fort Wayne, Indiana Comedy Club this Friday night at 7 o'clock at the World Series of Comedy competing. Come out and say hi and be a support to that. And, you know, you never know. By the way, excited also, May 12th, I'll be headlining the Funky Buddha in Boca Raton. Ciro, Ethan, Peter Leonard's going to be on that show. A bunch of people are going to be there, so make sure you do that. And by the way, May 9th, comedy's back at Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show. Steve Marshall's your headliner. $15. That's it. Call 954-509-0046 to reserve that because it's going to be sold out. Steve's a favorite. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Follow me at Dougie, Dangerous, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow our show at Wake Up Dougie on Twitter as well. And join our fan page on Facebook. How can they get a hold of you?
I'm on Instagram at Fastalicious. I need Fastal.com. And I got a show this Saturday night. Spill the Beans, 3020 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. Mike Cintron's a headliner. Thank you all for watching.
Go, Mike. And that's it, guys. Thanks. We'll be back next week with all new shows right here at the same spot. Take care. Goodbye.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, thick beam of light hit the ground. Through the door to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children.